Today we finish the first half of a worship series called Our Money Story. We're looking at stories in the Bible of times when God has provided for us and times when we have provided for each other. The series is divided into four sections: Remember, Release, Reimagine, and Restore. We remembered that even though the Israelites complained, God still gave them manna to eat in the wilderness. And even though Judas betrayed his Savior, Jesus still welcomed him to the table for their last supper together. In this second part, we are contemplating the theme of release, looking at stories that challenge us to let go of some of the things that we take for granted. Last week, we considered a conversation between Jesus and a rich young man. The man asked what he needed to do to get eternal life, but Jesus challenged him to release his personal expectations and desires and instead find a way to take part in community life by helping others. Today's reading is not a story, but a set of rules from the book of Deuteronomy that might not sound like very familiar rules to you. There are a lot of rules laid out in Deuteronomy, many of which don't apply to us today. There are rules about animal sacrifice, regulations about the priesthood, slavery, and spoils of war, that sort of thing. I checked my notes, and apparently I have never once preached on Deuteronomy in my 3 years here, although I think I might have mentioned it once in passing. Societies in the ancient world looked very different than ours. And it should come as no surprise that they would need to be run by rules that don't apply to us today, and that many of the rules we set in place for our modern societies would not apply to the ancient world. The rules laid out in today's reading will probably come as a shock if you haven't come across them before. But I want to challenge you to really imagine what the world could look like if we lived by these rules, because they would change everything. Our second reading this morning comes to us from Deuteronomy, chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Hear now the word of the Lord. Every seventh year you shall grant a remission of debts. And this is the manner of the remission. Every creditor shall remit the claim that is held against a neighbor, not exacting it from a neighbor who is a member of the community, because the Lord's remission has been proclaimed. From a foreigner you may exact it, but you must remit your claim on whatever any member of your community owes you. There will, however, be no one in need among you, because the Lord is sure to bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you as a possession to occupy, if only you will obey the Lord your God diligently by observing this entire commandment that I command you today. When the Lord your God has blessed you, as God promised you, you will lend to many nations, but you will not borrow. You will rule over many nations, but they will not rule over you. If there is among you anyone in need, a member of your community in any of your towns within the land that the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards your needy neighbor. You should rather open your hand, willingly lending enough to meet the need, whatever it may be. Be careful that you do not entertain a mean thought, thinking, the seventh year, the year of remission, is near, and therefore view your needy neighbor with hostility and give nothing. Your neighbor might cry to the Lord against you, and you would incur guilt. Give liberally, and be ungrudging when you do so. For on this account, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in all that you undertake, since there will never cease to be some in need on the earth. I therefore command you, open your hand to the poor and needy neighbor in your land. This is the word of the Lord. These rules from the book of Deuteronomy lay the groundwork for all debts within a community to be forgiven every 7 years. It's something that I'm honestly really struggling to imagine. I first took out student loans when I was 18 for college, and then at 24 for seminary. I'm hoping to have them paid off by the time I'm 35. I know people who have had to leave jobs they loved because they carried too much debt. I know couples who've decided that they can never have children because they carry too much debt. I know people who walk through life with hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of medical and educational debt and can't imagine ever being able to pay it off. So I'm trying to imagine a society in which my peers and I could have made a fresh start after 7 years. Maybe then it would be in everyone's best interest to make education and healthcare and housing more affordable so that they could be reasonably paid off within 7 years. But instead, the average rate of tuition at public colleges has increased by over 200% since my mother's generation. I am not an economist or a sociologist, but I don't think we have to be experts to see that the systems we live in don't benefit everyone. There has to be another way. There has to be a better way. Of course, there will always be some people who take advantage in any society. That's not a failing of any system. That's just humans being human. Even in this reading from Deuteronomy, we are warned against becoming stingy when the year of debt forgiveness gets close. And even in this reading, there is a loophole that the forgiveness doesn't apply to foreigners, just members of your own community. There would need to be a lot of trust within a community for a practice like this year of debt forgiveness to be able to happen. And it would be very complicated to enact on a large scale. Very complicated is probably a massive understatement. Can you even imagine how freeing it would be to be released of all debt? We could be released to dream of better futures for our families and communities, instead of being afraid or lamenting the things we'll never be able to do. Generational poverty wouldn't be as devastating. Maybe people wouldn't have to choose between food or rent. Maybe people wouldn't have to refuse medical care because they knew they couldn't afford it. Maybe young people wouldn't have to put their dreams on hold for decades. Even in this reading, the author acknowledges that there will always be people in need. But we know that the earth has always provided for us. We know that. But still we live in fear that there may not be enough for us. And so resources are hoarded away and denied to those who need them. I still struggle to imagine what a year of debt forgiveness would look like, because it is such an alien concept to our modern society and economies. But God is not limited to only working within the systems that we maintain or feel comfortable with. God is not limited to anything, and God's imagination is bigger than ours. Whether or not we know how to make it happen, whether or not we want it to happen, whether or not we're even familiar with the concept, the year of debt forgiveness is one of God's dreams for us. And what a dream it is.